Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, March the 28th, 2018. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day that you've given us an opportunity to continue our study. We recognize that you have pointed out in advance all of the events that we see occurring around us, and we ask that you would continue to strengthen us so that we might walk according to your pathway. Today we place ourselves again in your care, asking for the wisdom that is so necessary in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today I'd like to return to a website that I've been to before. It's called Berean Beacon. That's Berean Beacon. And the article that I'd like to take a look at today is written by someone that we have mentioned before. His name is Richard Bennett. Let me give you the name of the website again. It's Berean Beacon. The author is Richard Bennett. Richard Bennett, as I've said before, was born into a devout Roman Catholic home in Dublin, Ireland, and his early years were spent in the Belvedere Jesuit School. 8 years of theological instruction for the priesthood followed under the instruction of the Dominican Order was his formal education, culminating in 1964, where he graduated from Angelicum University of Rome. As a young priest, Richard was assigned to the West Indies, and he spent the next 21 years in Trinidad, mostly serving there as parish priest and applying Roman Catholic teaching to everyday life. After a serious accident in which he nearly lost his life, he began to seriously study the scriptures. And after 14 years of contrasting the teachings of Rome with biblical truth, he was convicted of the gospel message through God's grace alone. And in 1986, he formally left the Roman Catholic Church and its priesthood. It was then that he founded an evangelistic ministry called Berean Beacon, and there he started to testify of the goodness of God. Now, the article that he has written in today's program is entitled Catholic Mysticism Infused into Society. Again, Catholic Mysticism Infused into Society. Here's the article. The strong influence of Catholic mysticism has helped immensely to transform the New Age movement from being merely a counterculture subculture to becoming embedded into ordinary society. Catholic mysticism has very effectively and subtly invaded many facets of life without being recognized or critically examined. This has been actively promoted through self-help medical, educational, and psychological programs that employ methods such as meditation, philosophical programming, and self-hypnotic contemplation. In mixing Eastern subjective spirituality with Western self-assurance, Catholic mysticism has done much to influence the core spiritual beliefs and values of the West. In the September 2005 issue of Newsweek, the feature article was called Spirituality in America. It stated that Americans are looking for personal, ecstatic experiences of God. The article began showing Catholic use of a Buddhist teaching. Father Thomas Keating, an abbot of St. Joseph's Abbey, couldn't help noticing the attraction that the exotic religious practices of the East held for many young Roman Catholics. To him, as a Trappist monk, meditation was second nature. He invited the great Zen master, Roshi Sasaki, to lead retreats at the Abbey. After this, the magazine devoted nearly 20 pages to explain just how Catholic mysticism is permeating America. The same priest, Thomas Keating, writes, In the mystical life, one passes from one layer to the next in an inner or downward journey to the core of the personality, where dwells the great mystery called God. This is the never-ending journey, which is recognizable in the mysticism of all the great religions. It is a journey toward union because of consciousness gradually expands and integrates data from the so-called unconscious while the whole personality is absorbed into the great mystery of God. This falsehood, called a journey to the great mystery called God, can further lead a person into the whole mystic plague that Papal Rome is launching into society. Likewise, the Catholic monk and priest Basil Pennington is a major proponent of pagan practices and Gnostic mysticism. He writes, "In the course of the years, sitting in silent prayer, beyond where words can interfere, men and women of many diverse traditions have come together. In that deeper place, a oneness is experienced that gives assurance and heart to our feeble ecumenical efforts and interreligious dialogues. Maharishi Mahesh Yogi has said that if 1% of the people would meditate, we would have peace. Jesus spoke of the leaven that will leaven the whole." Unfortunately, what Pennington advocates is the dangerous stupidity of silent meditation plus false ecumenism. He also expressed total ignorance of what the Lord meant by leaven. Christ Jesus did not recommend using leaven, but rather warned his disciples to beware of it. The Pope of Rome officially endorses the same false ecumenism and lying mystical pestilence of Basil Pennington. For instance, the late Pope John Paul II wrote the following: "It is not one of the signs of the times, is it not one of the signs of the times that in today's world, despite widespread secularization, there is a widespread demand for spirituality, a demand which expresses itself in large part as a renewed need for prayer? Other religions, which are now widely present in ancient Christian lands, offer their own responses to this need, and sometimes they do so in appealing ways. The great mystical tradition of the Church of both East and West has much to say in this regard." Called by different names, this Catholic mysticism, or contemplative prayer, or mantra meditation, or altered state of consciousness, is permeating the world. Now let me pause here, because I know if you're listening here this morning, you've heard about contemplative prayer, and you've also seen it occurring in some sorts of different kinds in some of our churches. Now, who is this talking? This is a former Catholic priest, a man who spent many years studying, 8 years of theological instruction for the priesthood. And he was instructed in the Dominican order, ultimately graduating from Angelicum University of Rome in 1964. Spending 21 years as a priest in Trinidad and spending 14 years in studying the Word of God. But he recognizes that the mysticism that is being practiced today in some of our churches is really Catholic mysticism. He's writing an article entitled "Catholic Mysticism Infused into Society." Unfortunately, it has found its way much closer to home than just society. The name of the former priest is Richard Bennett. And as I said before, the article is entitled "Catholic Mysticism Infused into Society." Let me begin with that article, with that paragraph that I ended at just now, stopped at just now, before we continue. Called by different names, this Catholic mysticism one, contemplative prayer, or mantra meditation, or altered state of consciousness is permeating the world. The key factor of Catholic mysticism is the claim that there is an element of the divine in each human person. This assertion was officially proclaimed in 1965 at Vatican Council II in Rome. The claimed divine element in mankind makes it possible for the papal system to create a so-called brotherhood with other religions. The exact words of papal Rome's intent to influence mankind are the following. This is the reason why this sacred synod, in proclaiming the noble destiny of man and affirming an element of the divine in him, offers to cooperate unreservedly with mankind in fostering a sense of brotherhood to correspond to this destiny of theirs. The emerging church movement is working together with the papal system to change society. A conference in March 2009 was planned for this purpose. Thus, a follow-up to the conference states, the post-conference option envisions a think tank approach that might lead to new insight and the creation of a space where all can learn together while conspiring to expand the emergent conversation across the widest possible array of Christian life. The conference website recommends the use of icons in order to bring a person into communication with God. The actual words are the following. The purpose of icons is first to create reverence and worship, and second to serve as an existential link between the worshiper and God and bring communion. Icons have been called prayers, hymns, sermons in form and color. They are the visual gospel. As St. Basil said, what the word transmits through the ear, the painting silently shows through the image. And by these two means, mutually accompanying one another, we receive knowledge of one and the same thing. Now notice that is mentioned here in this article, the emerging church. And we will deal with that subject in a later article. Look forward to that. You will find that very, very applicable to what is happening not just in the United States of America, but across the world today. Continuing. The purpose of icons is first to create reverence in worship, says that particular sentence. In this type of imagery, knowledge often lays a foundation for a pantheistic concept of God in society. It is no wonder that civilization is being ravaged by such forbidden representations of Christ. And following the use of icons, society is inundated with cultic imaginations such as Harry Potter, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and Sabrina the Teenage Witch. The Icon Studio is an example of how such icons can be obtained in modern society. For instance, the Icon Studio states, our mission to help your faith community honor and celebrate Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, by providing you with the highest quality icons for your worship space and house of prayer. The Icon Studio's purpose in worship is exactly what the Word of God declares corrupts a person. Subsequent to icons, one has the marketing of statues, candles, and labyrinths for religious worship. For example, Group Publishing sells The Prayer Path, a Christ-centered labyrinth experience, where it advises, open your eyes, open your ears, open your heart, encounter God. Participants will journey through the labyrinth, guided by a CD that soars with provocative devotional narration set against a worshipful music background. 11 stations on their journey will lead them to let go of busyness, hurt, and distractions that can spoil relationships, center their lives on God, and spend time with Him, and reach out to the world with Christ's love. Walking a labyrinth in fact, or with the help of a marketed package, is pagan spirituality. The Word of God has been replaced with subjective feelings and a pagan practice. An investigation into how such practices have affected society has been made. The Agape Press reports the following. As researchers probed deeper, what they found should shake churches to the core. Barna, for example, after noting that 86% of teenagers claim that they believe in God, asked, but what is the nature of the God they embrace? He is a strange God indeed, as it turns out. In his book, Third Millennium Teens, Barna revealed this stunning fact. 63% of church-going, supposedly Christian teens said they believed Muslims, Buddhists, Christians, Jews, and all other people pray to the same God, even though they use different names for their God. In other critical areas of Christian doctrine, the divinity of Christ, the resurrection, the reality of absolute faith, the majority of church-going teens simply do not hold to views that are orthodox. Not only teenagers, but also many believers could be lulled into a mystical, ecumenical fantasy world. St. Peter's in Rome, Notre Dame in Paris, Rick Warren in the Saddleback Church in California, and the multitude of emergent churches are really like a Disney world in the field of religion. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are meant to be set apart from the world. While they are in the world, they are not to be part of its worldly evil system. If there is no true repentance and forgiveness, serious chastisement on the people of God can be expected in the form of increasing spiritual stupor and blindness. The Holy Spirit strongly warns of the apocalyptic consequences of these deceptions and of the judgment of those who promote lies in the name of God. Finally, Anglican Alan Jones, Dean of Grace Cathedral in San Francisco, California, is influencing society and politics. He speaks to a generation to whom moral relativism, irrationalism, and Roman Catholic ecumenism have become the dominant forms of thinking. This generation has no moral absolutes, rather, imaginations and images based in the lust of the mind have become a predominant mode of teaching. In such turbulent waters, Alan Jones has written a book called Reimagining Christianity, Reconnect Your Spirit Without Disconnecting Your Mind. Jones has had a worldwide influence, as a quick perusal of the internet will confirm. However, his influence does not stop with lecturing worldwide to ordinary individuals. Much more serious is the political and international recognition that he has received. What is critical in his effort to influence the world community is his endorsement of the United Religions Initiative. The purpose of the United Religions Initiative is to create United Religions, a world parliament of religions, which is a permanent assembly with the stature and visibility of the United Nations, where the world's religions and spiritual communities will gather on a daily basis in prayerful dialogue and cooperative action to make peace among religions and to be a force for peace among nations, to address urgent human need and to heal the earth. This peace among religions is to include the acceptance of Islam, something that the papacy has already officially done. United Religions has 202 chapters throughout the world called cooperative circles. It is designed to evolve into a United Nations of religions. While the whole emphasis is supposedly spiritual, a desire for legal power is evident in URI documents. For example, according to the preamble to the charter, URI plans a worldwide movement to support freedom of religion and spiritual expression and the rights of all individuals and peoples as set forth in international law. Now, I want you to understand that this is a powerful, powerful article. And the reason why I'm choosing this, I could have found warnings in other writings. But I'm choosing this because it is in the Berean Beacon website, and it is being written not by someone who is looking in at Catholicism from the outside, but from someone who has spent all of his early years as a part of the priesthood. His name, Richard Bennett. The title of the article is Catholic Mysticism Infused into Society. It is found in the Berean Beacon website, and you will find this article tremendous. He is showing here and describing a sort of ecumenical coming together, not just as we have dealt with before with regard to the connection between the evangelical far-right movement in the United States of America and Catholicism, or the evangelical movement and the Russian Orthodox Church. But now you're seeing a coming together between the papacy and Eastern mysticism. Now, you've got to understand that ultimately this was going to happen based upon God's word. But what we are seeing happening now is the fulfillment of God's word. And the fact that our Lord and Savior has warned us in advance of it should make us rejoice, knowing that we can rely on his word. Before we close today, let me give you the name of the article again and where you can find it. The title is Catholic Mysticism Infused into Society. The author is Richard Bennett, and he has a co-writer, Stuart Quint. And the location of the article is the Berean Beacon website. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to guide us day by day. We thank you that you continue to reveal to us from the hands of those who are part of the system that you have warned us about, that your warnings are accurate. We ask you today for the strength that is necessary so that we might be able to stand with you and for you, that we will be able to share the truth with those who are searching for that truth. As we go forward today, we place ourselves in your care, and as we always ask, for your guidance in our decision making. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, March the 28th, 2018.